Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
Eternity will reveal how many people end up in heaven because of the influence of godly mothers. I know this, if I don't make it, it won't be my mother's fault. What a challenge is before each and every mother. The Bible has much to say about what moms must do in order to glorify God. And I really believe that teaching in this area is needed more now than maybe it has ever been needed before. Since many in our culture gained their concept and their view of motherhood from Marge Simpson and a few desperate housewives. What does the Bible say? What has God's Word to say about motherhood and about how moms can go about glorifying and honoring God? You can't find a passage more comprehensive than the 31st chapter of Proverbs. And to that we turn our attention this morning. What are the characteristics of moms who glorify God? Let me offer you these. Number one, moms who honor God are teachers. Moms who honor God are teachers. In the first 9 verses of Proverbs 31, we find King Lemuel, who some incidentally believe was just kind of a pseudonym for Solomon. Don't know that, but some have conjectured that. But nonetheless, this king recalls the things that his mother taught him. Notice that in verse number 1, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. And in those first 9 verses, the king recalls the things that he learned from his mom. Things like, beware of evil companions, verse number 3. Things like the dangers of alcohol consumption, verse number 4. Things like stand up for those who are defenseless, verses 8 and 9. You know, those are great lessons in and of themselves. What a responsibility there is upon mothers and fathers as well, but dads, you'll get yours in June. What a responsibility on mothers to be a part of the teaching process in the home. But sometimes it's difficult to convince some moms that the greatest work, the most important ministry that she has is fulfilling her role as a mother to her children. To be involved in the spiritual training and upbringing of her own kids. Sometimes mothers today don't think of motherhood in those terms. And I think that's tragic. Perhaps it's because of societal pressures where motherhood is not applauded as it should be. Perhaps in some instances it's from pressures from within the local congregation, where pressures are placed upon some that eventually take them away from the things that they need to be doing as mothers. I may get in trouble for that, but I don't think I'm wrong. Mom's first job, given to her by God, is to be a mother to her children. Think about Timothy. Where would Timothy be without the training he received from his mom? Paul referenced that. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul mentioned to Timothy that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. From childhood. Where did he learn in his childhood the Holy Scriptures? From whom did he learn those passages that were able to make him wise? Same book, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. Paul said, "I am reminded of your sincere faith," again to Timothy, "a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now which dwells also in you." Paul said, "Timothy, you've known the Scriptures since your very childhood. And you learned those Scriptures at the feet of your grandmother and your mother." In Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Paul said, "And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the Word of God may not be blasphemed or reviled." The responsibilities that mothers have should be fulfilled if for no other reason than to keep God's Word from being reviled and blasphemed. See, mothers have an important role to play in upholding the Word of God. And they do that, at least in some measure, and in a great measure, by being a part of the training of their children in the ways of God. And so, mothers, let me encourage you this morning to remember that tending to your motherly duties, in tending to the training and upbringing of your children, if you're involved in that, you're not substituting that for the Lord's work. That is the Lord's work. And don't let anybody in the church or out of the church tell you otherwise. Moms who honor God are teachers of their children. Number two, moms who honor God are loyal. They're loyal. In verses 10 through 12, back to Proverbs 31, the writer mentions the loyalty of the excellent wife and mother. The heart of her husband trusts in her because she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And why not? She vowed to do as much on the day they got married. Promises. Promises that God expects us to keep. She does him good. She's trustworthy. She's loyal. And such women are rare, according to Solomon or Lemuel. In verse 10, he says, "A worthy woman, who can find?" He's not saying that to indicate that there is no such thing, but only that women who meet these qualifications are rare. But they're worth waiting for. Young men, unmarried men, remember that. They're worth waiting for. Moms who honor God are loyal. Number three, moms who honor God are industrious. Industrious. Verses 13 through 22. There are a number of things said in that section of the chapter that relate to the work that good moms are involved in. This is work that may involve work outside the home. Notice the text says, "She seeks wool and flax," verse 13. "She considers a field and buys it," verse 16. "She takes garments and sells them," verse 24. And so that may involve, mom's work may involve things that are done outside the boundaries of the home. But even in situations like that, it must be remembered that such types of work does not alleviate a mom of her responsibilities within the home. 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, the admonition is given, the command is given by Paul concerning moms, concerning wives, that they be about the business of managing the household. 1 Timothy 5, verse 14. We read from Titus 2, verses 4 and 5 a moment ago. One of the things that Paul said to Titus to teach the younger women to do is to be active working in the home. Now, that's not just outdated, old, fogey teaching. That's biblical truth rooted in God's will and God's nature. And so as moms are industrious and working, and sometimes that involves stuff that is without the boundaries of the home, the responsibilities within the home remain there. And a mom needs to take care of those things according to biblical teaching. The God-honoring mom does not spend half her day in bed, but rises early, verse 15, to be involved in the things that are necessary for her home, and even stays up late when necessary. Verse 18, her lamp does not go out at night. She does not eat the bread of idleness, verse 27. That's industriousness. That's work. And being a good mom involves that, according to God's Word. She fixes food for her family, verse 15. Gives responsibilities to her servants, the latter part of verse 15. I think that's an interesting thing. Not every mom has servants in her home. But one thing we do have, children. Good moms will give responsibilities to their children to teach them how to grow up and be productive adults. An article came across my desk that was printed in a bulletin. The article originally came from the Charlotte Observer out of North Carolina. And it has to do with past parenting versus present parenting. It has much to say about moms and dads and families in general. I'll just read to you the statements that are made about moms. And I think this person, not writing from a biblical perspective, has nonetheless hit upon some important principles to remember, moms, as you think about responsibilities given to your children and responsibilities for yourself. Notice what this writer said. Today's moms orbit around their children, dedicated to trying to make them happy. Yesterday's moms were at the center of their children's attention, dedicated to teaching them to stand on their own two feet. Today's moms are trying to do as much for their children as they possibly can. Yesterday's moms were consciously trying to do as little for their children as possible, in addition to insisting that their children both do for themselves and do for the family in the form of chores. Today's moms function as servants to their children for the term of their dependency, which is lengthening. Duh. Yesterday's moms functioned as authority figures, as dispensers of responsibility. Today's mom works for her child in perpetuity, believing that the best mom serves best. Yesterday's mom had her child working for her by the time he was three, believing that the best mom is the mom who prepares her child for a life of his own. And then he says more about dads and families in general, but the concluding paragraph is this. Why are today's parents having so many more behavior and school performance problems with their children than did parents just two generations ago? It's simple, really. You cannot approach child rearing in two entirely different ways and arrive at the same outcome. I think there is much wisdom in a lot of those words. Where moms, being the instructors that they are to be, the teachers that they are to be, helping their children to understand responsibility, helping their children to be given responsibilities and expect them to fulfill those responsibilities. The worthy woman of Proverbs 31 not only does for her family, but she gives responsibilities to those within the household. I think that's what the latter part of verse 15 is indicating of Proverbs 31. That's being industrious. That's a part of being the working mom, is helping others to understand and learn the value of work and work for others. The industrious mom makes time to tend to the needy, verse 20. She looks to the future and makes wise plans. Verse 21. And whatever her work for the family involves. Verse 13 says, this work is done with willing hands. Not with the sour disposition. Not with anger. Not with frustration. But with willing hands. Number 4. Moms who honor God are meek. Moms who honor God are meek. In verses 23 through 26, the writer mentions that she doesn't depend on fancy clothes for her success. She's more concerned with strength and honor. Those are her articles of clothing. It's reminiscent of what Peter said in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. When he instructed women, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the presence of God, or in the sight of God, very precious. The gentle and quiet, meek spirit is important. And she's modest in her words as well. The law of kindness is on her tongue. Proverbs 31, verse 26. Moms who honor God are meek. And then number 5. Moms who honor God are praiseworthy. Moms who honor God are praiseworthy. Notice what's said in verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Charm is deceitful, the first part of that verse says, and beauty is vain. But the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Moms, that's what you ought to be striving for. Young ladies who hope to one day be moms, that's what you ought to be striving for. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Those things pass. Those things don't hang around. But what does endure are the blessings that come by living a life in fear of God. The only thing that makes any mother, worthy of any kind of praise is her devotion to God. That's it. It's not a perfect record of on-time deliveries to ball practice. It's not perfect attendance at PTA meetings. And I'm not against PTA meetings and ball practice. But if that's where our focus is, on what we think we have to do and be in order to be a good mother, we've missed it. A woman who fears the Lord is the one worthy of being praised. This is the mom who makes time in her day. Makes time in her day. To spend time in the Word of God. Who takes the time out of her day to bring the names of her children and her husband before the throne of God in heaven. This is the mother who considers how she might become a better mom. How she might be more faithful in dispensing her duties as a mom who honors God. This is the person who fears the Lord, the person that's worthy to be praised. And it's this mom whose children will rise up one day, verse 28, and call her blessed. This is the mom whose husband will praise her before others by indicating, yes, many women have done well, but you excel them all. That's the mom who fears God. That mom is the one deserving of praise. And this is the mom whose God will praise her in this life by blessing the work of her hands, verse 31, and who will praise her in the next life when He gently places that crown on her head and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Where are you, moms? The standard is high. But God placed it there. Are you fulfilling your responsibilities before God? Are you a mom who honors God by doing the best that you can to fulfill these responsibilities and emulate this example? Husbands, children, are you faithfully praising faithful moms? Children, are you rising up and calling her blessed? Husbands, do you praise her in the gates? Many times, sad though it is, motherhood is a thankless job. Husbands and children don't express it as much as they ought. But one thing is certain. God is not unjust to forget your labor of love. Hebrews chapter 10. And I hear that when motherhood is done right, it's pretty rewarding. Moms, do you need to reacquaint yourself with God's teaching? Make a new determination that you're going to improve? I hope and pray that the lesson today will help you to do that in considering your responsibilities and considering how you can be a mom that honors God. If you are this morning a mom who's not yet even a Christian, the best thing that you could ever do in making that step to be the best mom is for you to become one of God's children. And that's true with anybody, moms or otherwise. If you want your life to be everything that it can be and everything that God would like for it to be, that's where you start. You start by becoming one of God's children. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Trust Him. John 8:24. Repent of past sins. Acts 17, verse 30. Confess your faith before others. Romans 10, verse 10. And be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Mark 16, verse 16. With those very simple steps, the blood of Jesus will wash your sins away. Revelation 1, verse 5. If you are a Christian already and need either to confess some sin in your life or to seek the prayers and help of your Christian family, then let us know what those needs are, that we might help you in any way we can.